Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to No Spoiler Reviews, the podcast for movie reviews with the surprises left in. If you ever felt like you've already seen the film by just reading a review or had the story spoiled by its trailers, well then this is the podcast for you. In this episode you'll find all the latest No Spoiler Reviews, including Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss in The Matrix Resurrections, Tom Holland and Zendaya in Spider-Man No Way Home, Benedict Cumberbatch and Kirsten Dunst in The Power of the Dog, and Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence in the divisive comedy Don't Look Up. So if that's your kind of thing and you don't like knowing the ending before you start, then let's enter the dark futurism of Lana Wachowski's long-awaited The Matrix Resurrections. It's the future, but it's somehow oddly familiar. Police burst in and find a leather-clad girl in a darkened room. Downstairs, more agents appear. Leaning against his car, the police chief assures them that they can take care of just one little girl. To which he gets the answer, "No, Lieutenant. Your men are already dead." Sounds familiar? Well, it should. To successful games designer Thomas Anderson, he's been here many times before. Responsible for creating the award-winning game The Matrix, Thomas is now struggling with flashbacks to a past that he never had. Or did he? Because looking through the shutters of his creation is a new generation of characters with only one thought on their minds: to save him from the Matrix. Well, what is immediately clear from The Matrix Resurrection is that Lana Wachowski isn't the same director that co-created 1999's The Matrix, or its two subsequent sequels. Sure, the same leather-clad sunglass posse are back in their dimly lit streets as before, but this is a very different kind of Matrix film. If you're looking for more elaborate fight choreography, pounding music, and murderous robots, then prepare to be challenged. Lana has realized that didn't work in the previous sequels, and The Matrix Resurrection is a far more subtle and probing film because of it. Acutely self-conscious and yet still comfortable enough to be self-referential, Lana Wachowski is instead holding up a mirror to not only the ongoing story of Neo, but also whether a fourth movie might be even necessary at all. Crammed full of sly references and nice subtleties, The Matrix Resurrections is definitely a film you have to see twice. This is because having seen it again, a lot of what initially felt jarring now feels both intentional and valid. Gone is Lawrence Fishburne as Morpheus, and in comes a tonally on-point Yahya Abdul-Mateen. Also absent is Hugo Weaving as the slurring yet sinister Agent Smith, who has now been swapped out for Hamilton's Jonathan Groff, who exquisitely nails his character's coding. However, whilst Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss commendably squeeze as much heartache as they can out of Neo and Trinity, Jessica Henwick as Bugs is neither trapped by their past or their future. Single-handedly grounding her expositional duties with the much-needed lightness of touch, she is the real winner here, together with Groff on the first viewing, whereas Keanu and Carrion's tenderness rests the honours back on the second. You see, if anything, this is a Matrix film that is at ease with itself. Whereas newer, better and bigger ideas might have been the new sexy on the cusp of the millennium, this is a film that clearly could have only been made in the wake of Charlie Brooker's Black Mirror and Lana's own exemplary series Sense8. Willing to attack the very things that marked it out as revolutionary, as in Bullet Time, where a camera rotates around a single suspended moment, everything now feels up for grabs and spread-eagled on the operating table. So, if you're looking for an explanation of exactly what The Matrix is, then this isn't your movie. Instead, this is a movie about what the ongoing story could have become and didn't. Feasting off the twin energies of fear and desire, The Matrix Resurrection is in fact the most linear of the Matrix movies so far. Deliberately gifting Carrie-Anne Moss with its one hell yes line of dialogue, there are plenty of spoilers here, together with a Thelma and Louise ending, which refreshingly subverts the presumed gender narrative up until now. So, innovatively, for a film that credits almost as many stunt performers as it does CGI compositors, this is a Matrix film with no caps locks left to give. Free of justifications and action-led explosions, this is a far more cerebral conclusion than many of you might have been expecting. So, go and reboot yourself into The Matrix Resurrections. There's a really bitter yet strangely enduring pill for you to take. You just have to decide whether you want to. So, if you'd like to re-enter The Matrix for The Matrix Resurrections, you can catch it at cinemas now in your area or rent it on HBO Max or Fandango. So, having reacquainted ourselves with everything black, shiny, and bespectacled, let's now spin the concluding web in Tom Holland's trilogy as Spider-Man in Spider-Man No Way Home. After the climactic events of 2017's Spider-Man Far From Home, the life of Tom Holland's Spider-Man is in tatters. Framed for murder by Mysterio, identity exposed by Jonah J. Jameson, and rejected from MIT, there really doesn't seem to be any way home for young Peter Parker. However, in wishing that his life could be the way that it was before, he approaches Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange to cast a dangerous spell. Yet in their attempt to make the world forget Spider-Man's true identity, their spell instead ruptures the very fabric of reality. Drawing forth an army of adversaries from Spider-Man's many different pasts, can Peter still save those he loves as the multiverse comes crashing down around him? Well, as far as high expectations go for any new Marvel movie, it's fair to say they don't get any bigger than with Spider-Man No Way Home. As a character who has hung in limbo between two warring Hollywood studios and then been rebooted three times with three different actors, you'd be forgiven for feeling just a little confused. Fortunately though, Tom Holland has got some fantastic legal representation this time to help clarify things. So, even if Benedict Cumberbatch's mug-wielding sorcerer can't provide all of your answers, nice touch there Marvel with the oh for fuck's sake drinking vessel, then you can be assured that director John Watts does. In the completion of his high school Spider-Man trilogy, John Watts has definitely saved the best for last. Steeped in post-cultural references aplenty, this latest Spidey flick has both the greatest hits and a soothing salve to the other Spider-Man movies that went before it. With Doctor Strange beseeching Zendaya as MJ and Jacob Batalon as his best friend Ned to Scooby-Doo this Shinola, it seemed that Chris McKenna's and Eric Summers' script has plenty of punch to pack in. In terms of Spider-Man's returning foes, cue the teased arrival of Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus, Jamie Foxx as Electro, and Thomas Hayden Church as the Sandman. Yet as a carnivorous Norman Osborn, aka the Green Goblin, it is clearly Willem Dafoe that is having the most fun. Slicing into his lines with an almost maniacal glee, he's the one clearly relishing his role as a self-described god who doesn't need to choose when he can just take. With the previously dislocated rationale of with great power comes great responsibility now safely restored to the closing chapter of Watts' Spider-Man trilogy, you should also be warned there are some real tears in the rain up ahead. Nonetheless, as an entertaining vehicle that has clearly learnt the lessons from Avengers Infinity War, Spider-Man No Way Home is simply the most affecting yet crowd-pleasing Marvel movie in ages. And yes, 3 really is the magic number. See Spider-Man now in cinemas worldwide. Okay, let's strap on our cowhides and make for the dusty cattle-ranching plains of the Wild West in Jane Campion's simmeringly tense drama The Power of the Dog with Benedict Cumberbatch. In 1920s rural Montana, nothing comes easy. Whereas Jesse Plemons' George Burbank is an amicable soul, his brother Phil, as played by an on-fire Benedict Cumberbatch, couldn't be any more toxic. Never wasting an opportunity to taunt his more effete brother, Phil positively revels in his role as a macho cattle driver. So when mild George decides to marry timid, widowed inn owner Rose, as played by Kirsten Dunst, Phil sets out to destroy both her and her effeminate son, as played by Cody Smith-McPhee. Will the dog on Phil's back succeed in driving them away, or will it open an unseen reality that he's been keeping firmly hidden from the world? Let's see. In a return to mainstream adulation, director Jane Campion's latest movie delivers some beautifully etched performances, none of which initially tell you where you're heading. What is clear, though, from its opening scene is the raging antipathy simmering behind Benedict Cumberbatch's eyes. Seemingly unable to allow himself any kind of joy, lest it be at the expense of somebody else, Cumberbatch's Phil is a dry-cooked sense of injustice, looking for a fresh target on which to pin itself. Yet, whilst this performance is a definite candidate of Oscar glory a few months hence, Benedict Cumberbatch isn't alone here in merit. Real-life couple Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst also match Cumberbatch's tinderbox fury with two equally amazing yet restrained renditions. However, sneaking through all the gold digger subtext is Cody Smith-McPhee as Rose's withdrawn boy, Peter. Finding gold once again in them there western genres, as he did with Slow West starring Michael Fassbender, this is a very different yet mesmerizing McPhee, who honestly matches Cumberbatch's Phil turn for twisted turn. So whilst a seemingly doomed romance played out once again against a huge, languid landscape might feel like an unwitting return to pastures familiar, and by that I mean 1993's The Piano, The Power of the Dog plays a similar ace card with the quality of its cast and its filmmaking. Sporting another exquisite score by much-in-demand Johnny Greenwood, and by this point you'd have to say that if he doesn't have both hands on the Oscar statuette, then his name is already engraved on the side. Ultimately, in pitting people against one another to the point of madness in another brushfire waiting to happen, The Power of the Dog becomes the piano's less overwrought cousin. If only separated by an ocean and several decades for some, this story of a put-upon woman caught inside a toxic love triangle has so much more to offer than a glance might reveal. For sure, see it now on Netflix before the Oscar hype machine swings into first gear and steals any delicious impact on a revenge dish best served cold. Now, in the last of our no-spoiler reviews for this month's episode, it's time to peel back on the faux controversy of Adam McKay's Don't Look Up with Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. In something of a scientific backwater, Michigan State University astronomer Kate DiBiase, as played by Jennifer Lawrence, is celebrating. She's just discovered a new comet. Yet, any talk of what it might mean for her PhD is quickly brought down to earth. Her comet is 20 kilometers wide. It's on a collision course with the world, and in 6 months' time, everybody's going to die. So, in order to save off any undue hysteria or panic, NASA's planetary defense head pulls both Kate and her frumpy professor, an excellent against type Leonardo DiCaprio, in to meet the president. However, once they get in there, none of them are going to have the day that they were expecting. You see, in director Adam McKay's Don't Look Up, it's fair to say that Leonardo DiCaprio has got his geek showing, and it's a wonderful sight. Couple that with the deadpan Jennifer Lawrence, where both of them are pushed into other celebrity actors, and the stakes couldn't get any higher. It's the end of the world, and Hollywood's finest have assembled for what is essentially Contact meets Dr. Strangelove meets Armageddon, with a shed load of zeitgeist thrown on top for good measure. Now, as is all too often, too many stars in one film can spoil the souffle, as anyone who survived 2013's movie 33 can testify to. Yet whilst Don't Look Up has come in for a bit of a kicking of late, to write it off as awful is just not wrong, it's also plain missing the point. Don't Look Up is a satire. People are going to be made fun of. And for many, those cuts are either too deep, not deep enough, or just plain missing the planet altogether. So whilst many of you may be chanting 11 benelephant elephants into an inhaler now, believe me, there's still plenty of laughs to be found. And then there's the peerless Mark Rylance. Coming off as an hysterical yet fearsome synthesis of Elon Musk, Tim Cook and Jeff Bezos, Mark Rylance ushers in a brand new level of in-your-face parody. Serenely floating above all the unfolding chaos, it's super clear that Mark Rylance has brought his A-game to an ensemble where, gasp, yes, Meryl Streep has just dialed it in. Yes, for all of her abilities and many glittering resumes, President Meryl just got owned by Jonah Hill, and that's not down to him getting all the best lines. That's because for a comedy that is clearly reaching for the stars, and by that I mean Armando Iannucci levels of greatness, it has to be said that both the movie and Meryl fall short. Don't get me wrong, I'm still pretty sure that time will be much kinder to Don't Look Up's reputation than this week's headlines. That's because if you go all the way back to Peter Finch's Oscar-winning rant from 1976 Network, Jennifer Lawrence becomes the one to tell the world that she's as mad as hell and she's not going to take it anymore. However, this is now 2022. The internet now exists, and public ire has since mutated into a force called social media. As such, Don't Look Up doesn't miss a chance to weaponize her comments into the factually appropriate responses of the day. Science is bad, the world is full of phone-obsessed narcissists, we can't handle the truth, and as a species, we all deserve to die. But isn't this all a bit too soon for you? Well, clearly for many in possession of a keyboard, it is. Fortunately though, this is Netflix, not Sparta. And in a nice piece of spine-wavering bravery, Netflix decided that it doesn't really care about box office receipts or sniffy reviews. Instead, they took the gamble on something that's guaranteed not to make Donald Trump a platinum-level donor. And, should it be blessed with a decent amount of hindsight, it may yet even turn into gold. So, in short, I got the joke, and if for one trouser-releasing moment you can let go of your expectations, then you might find some too. It's the end of the world as Hollywood sows it, and Don't Look Up does a fine job of scattering its seed, even if some of it only finds stony ground. After all, it is the fate of satire to be misunderstood. And that about wraps it up for this episode. Or does it? That is because for 2022, here at No Spoiler Reviews, we're going to be trying out something different with our podcasts. Namely, instant no spoiler reactions. You see, depending on which film, we quite often get to see it way ahead of its release date. Or saying that, it may only be the day before if the film's a bit dire. However, as an experiment, we're going to be recording our first thoughts at the very moment we leave every screening and then putting them out online once we're allowed to. However, in addition to this, thoughts can take a while to percolate, and so in a bit of a high wire act, we'll be doing a monthly self-review podcast to see if we still feel the same way about our initial reactions. So make a point of subscribing if you haven't already done so. That way you don't miss out on any unvarnished missives as they come out of our mouths. Now let's do a quick recap of this episode. We reviewed The Matrix Resurrections, Spider-Man No Way Home, The Power of the Dog, and Don't Look Up in a veritable post-festive smorgasbord, the like of which we haven't seen for many a yuletide. So if you like what you heard and you fancy having some more no-spoiler reviews delivered to your favourite listening device, then please consider subscribing. Please tell your friends, your family, and anyone else you know who loves movies. Please hit the bell, smash the like, and share the podcasts. It really does make a difference, and we do appreciate your support. That said, if there's a recent movie that you've missed or haven't heard us cover, then why not download some of our previous podcasts or drop us a line at info@nospoilerreviews.com so we can include it in an upcoming episode. Until then, please keep safe, take all reasonable precautions, and I wish you all the very best for a spoiler-free time. Look forward to seeing you for our new instant reactions, and also on February the 14th for our usual monthly Top 4 Movies podcast. Bye.